has been on my heart. It's the Alliance core values. And many of you have grown up in the Alliance, like me, and we kind of lost our way sometimes. Like, oh, what are we about? We know the fourfold gospel. We know A.B. Simpson, of course, A.W. Tozer. Dog's named after him. But we kind of lose our way in our mission. And, of course, we know as Christians that our mission is to glorify God in everything we do and to make him known throughout the world. But that comes from Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission, which says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so for a long time, even before I became your pastor, the Lord put on my heart the sermon series based on Alliance core values. And today we'll be in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, focusing on the Alliance core values. But before we begin, I'd like to pray for our service and just usher in a time of worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm grateful for this Sunday, Lord, where we can gather, God, and that we can have the freedom to gather, Lord, despite COVID, despite our world and the chaotic stuff that's going on, Lord. I'm grateful that in the United States of America, we can come freely to Sunday and worship you, Lord, because we have brothers and sisters in our very denomination, Lord, around the world that have to worship in secret, Lord, whether it be a cave or some basement or some secret place, Lord, but yet they're glorifying you, Lord. And I pray that you give us a passion like them, Father. Because there may be a day, Lord, that we may not have a church building, but the church is not the building, Lord. It's your people. And I pray, Lord, that we take that to heart, God. And just bless my words, Lord, if they're your words anyway, and let me remove my personality, Lord. But I pray you speak through for me, Lord. It wouldn't be Matt speaking, but it would be the Holy Spirit speaking, Lord. So I pray. Amen. For over 124 years, the heartbeat, as you saw, of the Christian Mission Alliance is to reach the lost peoples of this world. Our founder, A.B. Simpson's heartbeat was to take the gospel to the outermost of the world. For the early days of the Alliance, the outermost parts were Africa, Congo especially, then on to China. And over the course of the next 124 years, the Christian Mission Alliance has grown significantly, as we now have 6 million members worldwide. We have 700 missionaries, also called international workers, in 70 countries around the world. Many of these missionaries are also in creative access countries that would otherwise be closed to the gospel. But through the Holy Spirit, they found ways to work in these countries. It gives them a platform to make friends for the gospel. Pray for our missionaries, guys. They need your help. Jeannie comes from missionary family. I come from missionary family. Many of us in the Alliance know missionaries. And without prayer, nothing's accomplished. But with many prayers, I believe the Lord makes things happen. And so no prayer is small to God. So just remember that. Now you may be wondering, well, that's all overseas stuff. You may never be called to overseas missionaries, but you and I, guys, are called to be missionaries right here in our context. And as Dennis mentioned, I also serve as a United States Army Chaplain Candidate, and that's my missionary role away from here. That's not just Matt, you know, having fun with the Army on weekends. That's me going into the thick of things, and the Army call it the embrace of the suck, because a lot of it does suck. Sometimes you're crawling through mud and going through hardships. But that's my role. Like, I'm a missionary locally here as your pastor, but that's my Judea and my Samaria. I'm going out of the walls of Butler and going to Newcastle. And if I ever deploy with these soldiers, that's my context. And so even in your workplace, I have a friend of mine, a good pastor in South Carolina, who'd say where you work, you live, or you play, that's your missionary context. So just think of that as we go through this series. And it's right. Most of us never get the call to go overseas. But God has called us to make disciples regardless. Remember that today. We're all on mission for Christ, and that mission includes reaching the lost people outside the kingdom of God. We're all on mission, and that mission starts with understanding why God loves the lost and who they are. John Piper says, and I quote, "The lost don't just need finding, they need saving. This is why Jesus came, not only to find people, but to save people. You and I should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people for their sins. The lost are dead in their sins, and they need saving in a way that only Jesus can do," end quote. Reaching the lost is the heart of God and the heart of the Christian Missionary Alliance. So today we're looking at the first core value, as John mentioned in the video, and it's lost people matter to God. He wants them found, which is derived from Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And I'll read the full chapter so you get a picture. Starting in verse 1, "He," Jesus, "entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus." We all know the story of Zacchaeus, a wee little man. And so to set the context, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And so like many tax collectors of the day, they were hated because they worked for the Roman government. I guess kind of like the IRS today. People don't really like the IRS. I guess it's kind of equivalent. And so here's this man trying to follow Jesus. And he was trying to see Jesus, who Jesus was, because he heard about him as a great teacher. And he was able to because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. He ran on ahead and climbed a tree in order to see him. He passed through, and when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come here, for today I must stay at your house." And could you imagine, here's Zacchaeus, heard about Jesus' great preacher, and Jesus is passing on through Jericho right before his crucifixion. And Zacchaeus is just so excited. He's like, "I hear this great teacher. I wonder if he can help me out. You know, like maybe he'll give me a chance because the world doesn't give me a chance. I wonder if Jesus can." So he runs headlong and doesn't find this tree, climbs this tree, and then but Jesus knew, like he didn't have to climb a tree. Jesus picked him out of the crowd. And I wonder how many times in our life that, you know, the Lord left the 99 to follow us, to come after us. And it's an instance of that, that Zacchaeus, despite his sinful behavior or just his outward kind of like outcast look of the world, the Lord found Zacchaeus and met him where he was at. So just remember that as we go through here. So Zacchaeus climbed this tree, and he hurried down to come see Jesus. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And then they hurried and came down and received him gladly. When he saw him, they began to grumble, saying, "Teachers, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone of the thing, I'll give it back for them four times as much." And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save," which that is life. And so, just going back in verse 8. So Zacchaeus offered to host Jesus. Let me back up. Actually, Jesus kind of intruded on Zacchaeus. He's like, "Bro, guess what? I got to stay at your house today. Like, we're going to hang out. Like, you're going to cook me a meal, whatever." I can imagine Zacchaeus, "Okay, Lord, like, I hear you're this great teacher. Like, I know a little bit about you, but I don't really know you. Like, why would I invite you to my house?" But Jesus is like that. Jesus comes in and in our lives sometimes unwillingly, but he changes lives. And I'm grateful that sometimes that the Lord gives us a rude awakening, and that's kind of for Zacchaeus. He was like, "I don't know this guy, but what's he about?" And so in faith, he accepted the Lord. And then back in verse 8, he said, "Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor.'" He barely met Jesus, and he gave him all his possessions. Can you imagine that? He just gave the possessions to the poor people because he saw how great Jesus was and that he was who he says he was. And I couldn't imagine giving four times as much of my stuff. That's hard. You know, being in a materialistic world, it's hard to give up $1, let alone, you know, like your whole possession. So let it be a lesson today in faith that Zacchaeus trusted the Lord, barely knew the Lord. But he knew there was something special about him. And back in verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he was the son of Abraham." And it was by his faith that he was saved. And he had faith in Jesus that regardless of who he was, he knew that the Lord was different, that he was the Savior of the world. So remember that today. So why do lost people matter to God? The first point comes is because God loves them, which we see throughout Scripture, predominantly in John 3:16. And we all know this verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Since the fall of man in Genesis 3, God has had a redemption plan to rescue and redeem his creation. That plan was to send Jesus to seek and save the lost, his people, us. We needed Jesus to come to reveal to us why we need to be saved and point us to the Father. Jesus' whole purpose in ministry was redeeming the lost. And as his disciples, this is our mission as well. Throughout Scripture, you see Jesus minister to the needy, the sick, the morally corrupt, and the outcasts. Why? Because God loves you and I. Do you and I have the same love for people? We should. Because we're commanded in Scripture to love God and love your neighbor as ourselves. But often, something is holding us back. What is holding us back? Being unprepared? Or is it worried about facing persecution? I had an interesting interaction with a man in the past couple weeks. At this very church, he came, and he hadn't been in church in a while, and he came to our services and he's like, Matt, like, I don't know about you. I don't know about this Jesus thing. And basically cussed me out for being a believer. And we do face persecution. And often it's not, you know, brutally beaten like our neighbors in China, but still we're often persecuted for our faith. And I feel like sometimes the concept of that people out, I'm scared of that. Like just sometimes speaking up for the Lord is scary, but we have to. What if Christ wants to get uncomfortable? What if he wants to get us out of our comfort zone to reach the lost? To love people who may be difficult to love. Friends, I believe Jesus is calling us to love everyone, even the difficult people in Scripture, as Christ set this precedent. But what does it take to be willing to go to disciples of all nations as we seek and save the lost? What it takes dependence on the Holy Spirit, a genuine love for people, of course, prayer and an obedient heart. These foundational factors are key in ministering to the lost. Discipleship is a process, but if we genuinely do not love people as God does, then what's the point? The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, and I love Spurgeon, if sinners will be damned, at least they'll lead to the hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Like Spurgeon and many before him, our hearts should be focused on the kingdom of God, but often we get in the way. My role as a pastor is to equip you with the tools to go out and reach the lost, but I cannot make you love people. That comes from the Lord alone. If you lack love for your neighbor, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you a radical love for them. And if you need help reaching out to your neighbor, reach out to your fellow brothers and sisters. Dennis, Dave, Jeannie and I and other brothers and sisters here would love to walk alongside you if you need help reaching out to somebody. To love God and to love our neighbors is how we make disciples. We do this by living this out intentionally in our lives. Who are the people where you work, live, and have fun that need Jesus? Who are the outcasts the Lord wants you to reach? Remember, we are to love the lost because God loves them. This is seen throughout Scripture. Romans 5:8 and Luke 15:3-7. Who are the Samaritan women and outcasts in your life the Lord wants you to reach in your community? Moment. Who has God put in your context that you want to reach? Scripture teaches in John 13:35 that they will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. You see, we don't have to come up with a crazy gimmick or create a ministry and entice people to Jesus. They will come as a result of our genuine love for people and one another. People notice if we truly love God through observation. If our lifestyle does not add up to our words, something is amiss, and we need a heart check from the Lord. So, we are to love the lost because it was Christ's mission, and our mission is His disciples. So let us, as we go through this next 8 weeks, prayfully seek whom God wants us to reach, and pray for a passion to reach our city, because God wants lost people found. And this is His heart, that no one should perish outside the kingdom of God. So what does this mean for us? God desires every man, woman, and child in Butler, Pennsylvania, and Butler County to know Him as Lord and Savior, so they can have a right relationship with Him. To my next point, who are the lost in the community? According to Barna Research Group, the Common Christian Research Group, 47% of the greater Pittsburgh area do not know Christ. In fact, the city of Pittsburgh ranks 36th on post-Christian churches in the U.S. Ask, there are many reasons. Once prominent churches, such as the Presbyterian Church in America, now part of it's very liberal, are selling out to the attractive lifestyle of mainstream media or just mainstream lifestyles. And two, churches are not fully hearing Jesus' mission to go and make disciples. See, in the U.S., we have the problem of evangelism, leading people to Christ, but that's it. There's no relationship. We don't actually spend time with people to help them grow in their faith or equip them with the tools to share their faith. Why? A lot of times, we get caught up in others at hand, or we're ill-equipped. If we want to be in a fog of going and make disciples and teaching them all that He has commanded us, if we do not, we will not grow and the doors will close. More and more churches are closing all over the U.S. because there's no fruit of the harvest. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And the few that are sharing the gospel are burnt out from carrying the burden to sharing the gospel. Everyone in this church and Big C Church, corporate church, has a role to play, and we all can make disciples. Now, we're not hundreds of people into Christ, but few. That's Much growth, not many growth. I could talk. Much growth. So how many of your neighbors have you invited over this week or this month for a meal or share the gospel with them? If not, what's holding you? In the days to come, let us seek how God wants us to love our neighbors so we can have the opportunity to share the gospel. And this begs the question, who are our neighbors? Scripture says that we are to love God and love our neighbors. And how can we love someone if we don't know who they are? Simple answer, we can't. According to the Holman Bible Dictionary, a neighbor is a person living in the same vicinity, engaging in mutual activities, and for whom one takes some responsibility. You see, they're your physical neighbors, your coworkers. They're also people, service members or EMTs, firefighters, veterans, police officers. They're also the homeless, school-age teenagers, unreached teens who are struggling with addictions or disease, homeless, and yes, those who identify as LGBTQ. On that note, we don't have to agree with them being from this background, but we can love them and graciously point them to the truth. The Bible is very clear on the matter of homosexuality, serving God if we exclude people. Perhaps by being gracious to people, we may win souls over to Christ, and their lives will be changed. But if we're not willing to reach out and be friends with them, then we'll see no fruit. Again, to be clear, this is not our doctrine behind, but I think Jesus is clear. We need to and seek to understand those who are outside the kingdom of God. A practical application of loving your neighbor is prayerfully asking God this week to put on your heart for one person or family in your surrounding context to share the gospel with or invite over to your house. Then in faith, after you establish relationship, share the gospel with them. And the best way to do that is by befriending someone new who does not know Jesus. Let us all prayerfully seek who the Lord wants us to reach this week and begin that friendship. While we know from Scripture and from the denomination that lost people matter to God and that He wants them found, we have learned about who these people are and that there are often people in our immediate context. Next, we'll learn the why behind God wants them found. As we observed earlier, it is because God loves His creation that He sent His Son to die for us and rescue us, is why He wants us found. But there is another reason why. The Lord doesn't wish anyone to perish. This is why He sent Jesus, so that you and I could have a right relationship with God. This does not mean that everyone will be saved, as the Bible makes this clear also. But we know that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, will be saved. Jesus made this possible by dying on the cross. Through His death, we have a resurrected life and a new hope for the future. But let's for a moment talk about a reality that many people have faced and some will face, including that we know eternal separation and eternal death in hell. You may ask, well, that's not fair. Well, we didn't want fair because that was fair. The cross was fair. Jesus died for us so we didn't have to spend eternity without Him. But for those outside the kingdom of God who are dead in their sins, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if we don't repent or never know God, hell is the destiny of those outside the kingdom of God. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Peter says about the Lord, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." I'm a firm believer that the Lord gives us multiple opportunities in life to turn from sin and begin a new life in salvation. But the reality is that there will be an end to our lives. For us as believers, we know our destiny is eternal life in heaven. But for the unbeliever, the sad reality is eternal separation in hell. This is why we must share the gospel. Being a good person or knowing about Jesus, just facts about Him, will not get you into heaven. His grace does, and we can receive that by His saving grace through faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must share the gospel because God desires for His creation to be saved. However, the reality is those that don't know Him will perish, just as I mentioned before. According to Matthew 20:14, Matthew says, "Go and preach that the end will come." While it's true that those outside the kingdom of God will perish, I don't think all the people groups of the world has been reached yet. John Piper, a great scholar, mentions that all peoples here in this context in Matthew 24 means people groups. And there are people in the world who are dying without ever hearing the gospel and dying lost in their own sin, not knowing that they need a new life in Christ. Thus, it is our responsibility to evangelize the lost because God wants them found. He doesn't want them to die outside the kingdom of God, but that is the price that has to be paid. But since we know that there is hope, this should be all the more reason why we evangelize the lost, and this is the heart of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. There are people outside the kingdom of God who desperately need to know Christ. The only way they'll ever hear it is if we take the gospel to them. And like I mentioned before, we may never be called to be an overseas missionary. We are missionaries in our own community. So let us reach the lost in our context this week and the coming months through outreach and prayer for our international workers for reaching the lost overseas. If you'd like more info as how you can pray to read about the Christian Mission Alliance website, cmalliance.org, to see what our missionaries and our new pastors around the world are up to. While we see God wants lost people found, lost people are, and what it takes, or what happens to the lost outside the kingdom of God, next we'll focus on practically how we reach these people. Luke in Acts 1:8 writes, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." As Christians, we have received the Spirit's power to share the gospel with our neighbors upon our conversion. It is the Holy Spirit's working through our lives that changes people and brings them to Christ, not our own will. However, we have a role to play in obeying the Holy Spirit and evangelizing the lost. If we are willing and obeying His lead, how do we evangelize? As I mentioned earlier, it starts with relationships. Intentional relationships are Christ-centered, not just a casual relationship without a purpose. Relationships take time and intentionality, much like growing a church. Look at Jesus' ministry. Everything He did was through intentional action, and it was His purpose to drive them to a right relationship with God. He took the time to understand them. Look at His apostles. He spent many years with them. He met their needs of the lost by intentionally seeking them out. What are some of the needs of our community? Perhaps providing child care for a young couple who needs to spend time on a needed date, or serving a meal to the homeless at the local soup kitchen. Like we have Wishbone Ministries downtown, and we also have the Salvation Army. Or to volunteer to coach a sport. How are you being light in the community, and how are you impacting Butler for Christ? I want our church to be the light in the community, and it starts by intentionally living out Matthew 28:19-20 here. Over the next few months, you will see more and more outreach opportunities where I want our church to be involved in the community. Not without purpose, but there's indeed a church that truly loves this community, and the people here generally care about their needs. I'd love to hear from you guys about outreach opportunities, because it's our church. It's not just me leading. I want everyone to give me ideas. So it would really help me too. But I ask that you commit to a time of prayer and seeking what God wants to do for our community and how we may practically answer that call. As we close the service, I'd like to invite you to a weekly prayer service where we can fellowship, prayerfully seek our church's vision right here in Butler and how we can effectively be a light in this city. So I've talked with leadership team, and I know we're still wrestling with exact dates and times, but we're going to do prayer service from about 6 to 7, or 7 to 8, sorry, where we just gather the needs of our city, pray for direction, and pray for Him to grow this church. Because, guys, God is not done with our church. I have a strong feeling there's a reason why God called me here, and it's to grow this church, and I'm not going to leave you guys. So I'm here for the long haul, and I'm here to see the Lord grow in a mighty way. So just begin a time of a season of prayer for that God may bring the right people here. And so as we close, I'd like to invite the worship team up and leave you with this. God desires to rescue the lost because the reality is that those outside the kingdom of God will perish without knowing Him. Meaning, we have the responsibility to share the gospel so they can have a relationship with God. And since we're all called to be disciples, we need to reach those in our community through intentional relationships and potentially meeting their needs. We all have a part to play in evangelizing the lost, so let us take the commandment to heart and go out in the world and reach the lost, because the Lord needs to know that Jesus is King, that He loves them, and wants them found. Join us in worship.
Man of sorrows.
While Dave's getting that, we'll just take a time to take a minute to pray and just seek the Lord. Heavenly Father God, I know a lot of people here have friends or family that are outside the kingdom, Lord, that have an inkling knowledge of You, but don't really know You, Lord, personally, for whatever reason. I mean, we all have just things in our life where we were turned off from You, whether it be unfortunately, ministers have not really lived out the gospel, or just people who've belittled them or made faith really just a religion, Lord. But it's more than a religion; it's a purposeful relationship. And God, I'm grateful that each and every one here would help, hopefully, has a relationship with you. But if not, God, I pray that you'd bring people today that would come to know you, Lord. And I love to walk alongside them. As many in this church know you, Lord, and are genuine brothers and sisters who live their life daily, God. But there's many in our community, Lord, not just in Butler County, but also in Pennsylvania, the rest of the world, that desperately need you, Lord. And I pray that this year, 2021, would be a year that we see tremendous growth, not in our church, but in the church as a whole, not just the Alliance, but in the church as a whole, Lord. And that begins with prayer, Lord. And I know that you can do it, and I have faith that you can grow this church and grow the church in general, Lord. But I pray that despite the pandemic, despite everything going on, Lord, that we know that you are King, you are in control and sovereign over our lives. And Lord, that we know that you are a provider, Lord. The scripture says that we seek, ask, and knock, and you'll provide for our needs. And I pray, Lord, that whatever need it is right now that we may be hurting or see friends that are hurting the community, I pray that we provide it in a real way and through your love. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Join us in prayer. Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem, and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. And now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor to thee. My debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. Oh, that salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. See, the stone is rolled away, behold the empty tomb. Come on, church. Alleluia, God be praised, he's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, alleluia, praise and honor unto thee. praise and honor unto thee. If you remain standing for our benediction, comes in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ, death rather than dead, the great shepherd for sheep by the eternal blood of the covenant, equip you with every good thing you may do his will, working in you that is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed.